22 as we look back on what Jesus Christ has done for us. I want to start in Psalm 22. Psalm 22 was written by David. And David lived roughly 1,000 years before Christ. And so he wrote this, you know, roughly 1,000 years before Christ came onto the scene, before Jesus, before the incarnation. And yet when we read this, we are mindful of the crucifixion, because there are so many statements in here that show us the crucifixion, but also we know that because the Gospels reiterate Psalm 22 as Jesus is going through the crucifixion. And I, as we looked back on the suffering of Christ, I want to take your hearts and minds here. It starts off by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Does that sound familiar? Matthew 27:46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? The psalmist goes on and says, why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you, and were delivered. They trusted in you, and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out their lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. We know of the mockings around the cross, from the crown of thorns that was put upon his head to the purple robe that was placed upon him. But even there upon the cross, in Matthew 27, it tells us that they blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. You see that directly quoted from Psalm 22:8. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Matthew 27:43. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him. The psalmist goes on in verse 9, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Many strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It was melted within me. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. When they crucified him, they did that. They pierced his hands and his feet. And remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the upper room the second time, and Thomas was there. And Thomas, who said, well, unless I put my finger in the holes, unless I put my hand into his side. And so when Jesus appears that second time, he says, Thomas, put your finger here. Put your hand here. Don't be unbelieving, but be believing. And remember Thomas's response, my Lord and my God. They pierced his hands and feet. Verse 17, I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing cast lots. Remember the soldiers at the foot of the cross. There was one piece of clothing that was so valuable that they said, let's not tear it and divide it. Let's cast lots. to see who gets it. Those soldiers were no friends of God. They didn't say to themselves, hey, I remember in Psalm 22 it says this, so we better not tear it. We better cast lots. They didn't. But 1,000 years before that event happened, it was prophesied. But you, verse 19, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Here is the prayer of the one who is suffering. And it happened to David. In some way, this happened to David, probably not as literally as it happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. But David was going through something, but in his going through it and writing it down and writing the psalm, he prophesied about what would happen to the Messiah. And 1,000 years before it happens, he is able to vividly write it as if he was standing at the foot of the cross. This is the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to show you there's more to this psalm. Because as vividly as it is written in Psalm 22 before the event, so the rest of it is vividly written before the event. The rest that we're going to read in just a minute will be one day fulfilled. So the end of verse 21, it says, you have answered me. And then it says this, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. That verse is quoted exactly in Hebrews 2:12. And in Hebrews 2, the whole idea about Hebrews 2 is talking about how Jesus has provided propitiation for our sins. He is the captain of our salvation. He is bringing many sons to glory. And in the midst of that assembly, Jesus is declaring God's name. This is talking about the reward of his work, the completion of his work. Verse 23, for who will fear the Lord? You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from them. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. By the way, if your heart is fearful this next week, or concerned, or a little bit not at ease, you probably should memorize verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's and he rules over the nations. God rules over America. Never forget that. All the prosperous, verse 28, all the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship, and those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he who cannot keep himself alive of prosperity shall serve him. It will be counted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. There's a future coming. And I think we can see this in the millennial reign, where there will be a generation, there will be people who rise up and rejoice in Jesus Christ and praise him for the work that he has done. In our communion service, we not only look back, we not only look around, we also look forward. Jesus Christ is coming again. And he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And one day he will sit upon a throne here on this earth and we will see that. May our hearts take courage in all of this. I'm going to ask Daniel to come and lead us in a song that looks back, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. These songs will be up on the screen above you. I guess in front of you would be better. So as we sing this song, remember of how Jesus was put through the cross for you and your sin. We look back, but we also look within from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We could call this the communion passage. Paul gives the instructions to the church at Corinth. And he says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. The church at Corinth was making a mockery of the communion table because they were coming there to the communion table with pride in their hearts, and they were not unified with one another. There was selfishness. And because of that, the Lord chastened them. And they were sick and they were weak, and some had even died through the chastening hand of the Lord. And so Paul says, when you come to the communion table, you look within. You inspect yourself. Are you right with the Lord? And that's kind of been the plea of this whole past week. Last Sunday, we talked about having Communion Sunday and leading up to it, and even the fellowship meals, all of that. Hopefully, we were inspecting our hearts for this moment. Are we right with the Lord? Are we walking in fellowship with Him? And I would just simply say, what does it look like to have communion in a worthy manner? And I would say three things. First, you must know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this really means nothing to you. So you must know Jesus as your Savior. You must also be baptized. We talked about baptism the last several weeks. It's a mandate that the Lord gave to His followers, and it's something that we should do. It's a declaration of our confession, our belief. So one should be baptized. It's a commandment from the Lord. And then we should be walking in fellowship with the Lord. There should be no sin in our hearts. No sin between our spouse. No sin between our children. No sin in our church family. No sin. We must take of the Lord's table in a worthy manner. And I would really encourage you, we're going to sing a song in just a minute called Nothing Between. And hopefully it is a song that you can sing honestly and say, yes, there is nothing between. But if there is something between you and the Lord as we're singing that song, I would really encourage you not to sing, but to take a moment and pray and get right with the Lord, so that you may not partake in the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. I'm going to have Daniel come right before we take the cracker and grape juice, come and lead us in a song, Nothing Between. Thank you. precious thought, isn't it? Isn't it great when there's nothing between you and the Lord? But you also know the opposite is true, is that it's really painful, hurtful when there is something between you and the Lord. Well, we've looked back and we've looked within, and now let's look up as we take this together. We're going to start by taking the clear and just pulling that back and opening that up. Sorry, Daniel. I usually have a couple extras up here for object lessons, you know, for showing you how to open it and everything. And the last service, I had one up here and I opened it, and then I was moving around with it and I lost my wafer, so I had to have another one. Anyways, once you get it open, just hold it up like this so we can see that everybody has theirs open. Because we do this together. We do this together. Reminding ourselves not only what Christ has done for us, but also that we are one in Christ. Kevin, we didn't get you one, did we? Can we get one for Kevin too? Sorry. Thank you, David. We're still not used to this whole thing with, you know. The next song we're going to sing, the last verse, it says, I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face, content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss, my sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. If we boast in anything, let us boast in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's take this wafer together. I'm going to have Daniel come and lead us in our next song, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Let's sing that song. Now let's take the grape juice. Once again, be careful opening this. Let's open this together. Remember, don't take it all the way off. Very bad. All right, let's take this together, reminding ourselves of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. The next song we're going to sing is Nothing But the Blood, 302, a song you know well. Let's stand together and sing this. Daniel's going to come and lead us. Nothing but the blood saved us. Amen. We've looked back, we've looked within, we've looked up, and now we look around at one another. We are in fellowship with one another. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are brother, you are sister in Christ. And we will spend all eternity together. I think, you know, in this form, if you were to say that to each other in this form, like if you were to say, hey, we're going to spend all eternity to each other, there might be some groaning. I don't know. You know, man, that's a long time to spend with that person. But we will be perfected and we will be in Christ's presence. And it won't just be us. It won't just be us. There are thousands, millions of people around this globe today who confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, who are brothers and sisters in Christ with us. There are millions upon millions who in past years have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all will be together around the throne. We look around and remind ourselves of how precious each other are. We are precious to each other. We are family. We should never forget that. We have up here Hebrews chapter 10. And I want us to say this together. It's a good verse reminding us of a couple one another's in here that we should be doing. So let's say this together. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Next verse. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That day is the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I see that day approaching more and more, which means we need to be more active in stirring up one another toward love and good works. And as you look around, these are the people you're supposed to stir up, not in a bad way, you know. Now, we're not talking about pressing each other's buttons, you know, but like stirring one another up to do what is good and right until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord willing, next time we'll have a couple mics set up where we can pray for one another. But at this time, I'm just going to spend a few moments praying for us as a fellowship. So if you would please bow your heads and listen as I pray. Father, I'm thankful for each one that is here this morning. And I'm thankful for each one within our church family who's at home watching, listening. And we rejoice that you have made us one through Jesus Christ. You have made us family. We have been forgiven together. We have been adopted. We are children, your children, and we rejoice in that. And as we look around, Father, we may be different than one another, and we're still sinners, definitely. But we've been saved by grace, and you have called us to love one another, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to stir up one another. And I would ask, Father, that you would renew our hearts to practice the one another's. As we look around, we see who's here. And Father, may it be within our hearts to do that. I pray for those who this morning are struggling with physical difficulties. And Father, when there is pain in the body, it can be so challenging. It can be a dark cloud. It can bring one to despair. Father, it can cause a lot of anxiety and worry. And I pray for my church family, those who are experiencing health difficulties, that you would encourage them right now. Remind them, Father, that you know everything about their body. You know everything that's going on. Father, remind them as well that in an instant you could heal them if you desire. But then, Father, also remind them of what you told your servant Paul, that your strength is made perfect in weakness. And even Paul, as godly of a man as he was and used by you and a great missionary, even when he prayed that you would deliver him from something that was going on, you said no. But you said, I will give you strength. So Father, I pray for those who are dealing with health difficulties this morning that you would give them your strength. And in that strength, that they would daily be able to have peace and joy, that they would rest in you. And in that strength, they would declare to a lost and dying world that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Father, I pray for our church family, for those who might be worried or very concerned over the next week and the elections within our country and what's going to happen. And I pray that you would remind us that you are the one that rules over nations. Father, as chaotic as things may seem, you have a plan and purpose. And then, Father, to know as well, Romans 8:28, that since we are your children and we know you, we can claim that promise. That everything that happens within our life is for good and for your glory. And yes, Father, that good might not be, we might not define it the same way that you might, but it certainly is working in us. It certainly is forming us into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that. We long to be like him. Father, may we resemble Jesus, in the days ahead. I pray that you would also help us to love one another more, to pray for one another more. We'd be more concerned for each other. Father, I pray that you would watch over those who have lost loved ones recently, that you would comfort their hearts. Father, remind them of your great love. And Father, I really pray for my heart, for each one here and everyone that's listening, that we would realize how frail our days are, how short they are. We have a little bit of time to serve you and bring you glory. May we be found doing that. Thank you so much for each and every one that is here. We rejoice in you, and thank you for the privilege to come into your throne room through Jesus Christ and to lay these things at your feet. May we continue our prayers for one another. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel's going to come lead us in a newer song that we're learning, How Good It Is. And it talks about the fellowship that we have with one another. So this is a newer one, so we'll continue to learn this one. That's really our prayer as a church family, as that this would be a place where Jesus is seen, right? And people would come here saying, Jesus is there. Well, one of the great things about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is he did not stay dead, but he arose from the tomb. And as we're looking around, this is our last look as we're looking forward. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. And it says this: after the Sabbath on the first day of the week, as it began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Those are words we read, and they bless our hearts. We weren't there to see Jesus risen, but one day we will see the risen Jesus. One day, he will come back in the clouds for us. And Paul says, when we are taking the communion meal, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. When we take this meal together, we are mindful of how we've been saved looking back. But that's not the end of our salvation. One day we will be saved. We are saved, but one day we'll be all the way saved. We'll be taken, sin will be taken out of us, and we'll be made perfect in his presence. We are looking forward to that day. And we say with our brother John at the end of Revelation, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're going to sing one more song this morning before we dismiss. And it's called Christ Returneth. That's what we're looking forward to. One person last night, I believe it was this song. Wasn't it this song that he quoted? Right? Yeah, he did. Chuck quoted this one last night, right? Wasn't it, Jacob? Come on. He did quote this one. Oh, come on. Up from the grave here, Rose. There we go. Well, I was close. Same subject. All right, let's stand together. We're going to sing this as our closing song, and then Daniel's going to close us in a word of prayer. Thank you for coming this morning and being with us. Christ returneth. Lord Jesus, how long? I don't know. Could be this afternoon. Could be tomorrow. Could be Monday night, and we could be spared all of Tuesday. But the Lord will come when he comes, and we will see him, and we will rejoice. Let's sing this last song together.
That impact of that, again, will be that the word